Good day, everyone. Welcome to part two of our discussion with the consulting geologist of Curry Rose Resources, CUI, on the TSX Venture Exchange, Mr. Mike Griffiths. I'm John Hallstein. I do hold a share position in CUI. It's a company we initially started following at BMR about a year ago when it was trading at just 10 cents. In part one of our discussion, we spoke a lot about the highly prospective Sikenke project, with drilling now getting underway there. Curry Rose has some exceptional targets at Sikenke, beginning with numerous quartz reefs. Today, our focus is on Mabali Hills, also a big land package about 200 kilometers north of Sikenke, where Curry Rose has just completed 20 RC holes, 16 at Susie River, 4 at Dahabu. The visuals are encouraging. All holes intersect disseminated sulfides. Drilling has yet to begin at Mwamazingo, where Curry Rose made a discovery several years ago. So here's part two of my discussion with Mike Griffiths from Curry Rose Resources. Give us a feel, Mike, for how the people live in the area where Curry Rose is exploring. I'm talking first off here about Mabali Hills, for example, where you visited just recently. What is life actually like for people there? How do they live?
Well, it's a classic village type arrangement. People live in the village system. They're basically crop and cattle type activities, cropping and herding activities. Anything like we have in our countries, but certainly the situation there is, I suppose, the biggest problem they have is having clean water, and so that's part of the problem for them going forward. But certainly, I mean, they'll live in a grass hut mainly. Some may have an iron roof, but generally speaking, they're thatch. So it's a fairly rudimentary, fundamental existence. Mm-hmm.
And what's the response when someone like yourself, the white man, arrives on the scene, with a drill rig? What's their response to that?
Oh, well, generally, it depends on how you go about it. I mean, we have tried very strongly to engage not only the people in the various villages, but also the people we have doing our work for us are well-trained Tanzanians. So we're not importing a whole bunch of expats in there to try and teach people what to do when there already exists the appropriate skill level in country to do it. And I think that's a really positive start for the connection with the community, because you got people who, they might not be from the same tribal group, but they all speak the same language. Mm-hmm. And they have an affinity in the sense that they're Tanzanians together. So they feel a lot more comfortable than dealing with a countryman than they do with the foreigner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you've got one gentleman there, Menon, who Harold Smith, the president and CEO for Curry Rose, has talked very highly about, and he's your main guy on the ground on a continuous basis there, right? So, and he's got a lot of experience. He's from that area, got a lot of experience, obviously, dealing with the people, and he knows everything about Tanzania.
Yeah, Menon, and I've known Menon for just about the entire time that I've been going to Tanzania. So I've got, and I've been involved in nurturing his career, if you like, to the point where he is now a very strong professional, able to do anything that anyone could do in the first world. And he's now putting together his own team of people, and it was a very pleasant experience for me to have met some of his young people, young geologists that are working for him, and they are full of the fire in the belly, full of questions, full of very good basic geological knowledge, and I think that this is really the beginning of a really strong team of people that are putting their best efforts into our project. So it was a very, very good experience for all of us, I think.
So you have the right people on the ground there, you've got a good system in place, and obviously you have to work fairly closely with the local villagers as well, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Again, while I was there just recently, I spent some time with a couple of the village chairmen and a few of the other people from the village areas, just to make sure they realised that we weren't just going to be in and out and exploitation. And we've agreed to assist them with a couple of the villages at least, with some putting in some water. Water bores, that's a fundamental of people's existence, is the ability to get good quality water. And we know that there is water there based on our drilling, of course. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a strong commitment that we have to the community. They understand that we're a small company and that we don't have the, you know, huge deep pockets, but certainly we also try to employ a reasonable number of people for what I call real jobs while we're there, so that again there's some funds going into the local community through the employment of local people.
Mike, let's talk about geology now and about the drilling you've been doing at Mabali Hills and Wildoo. Last winter, you completed a first-pass drill program at Susie River. You got some encouraging results. The 16 holes this time were designed to test depth extensions to the mineralization discovered last winter, as well as potential extensions to the known trend. And unlike phase one, as stated in your news release last week, all phase two holes intersected disseminated sulfides. What's happening, Mike? What's happening at Susie River?
Yeah, a good question, John. I think Susie River it was an interesting target for us because it was an area where we had previously had some quite outstanding rock chip results. Mm-hmm. And there were some diggings from local people there in and around. And so the first drill pass was basically to assist us to find, with a little bit more clarity, where the potential gold activity was occurring. And what we found was we discovered a continuous zone of mineralization, sometimes running parallel with another zone, which extended for over 300 meters. And the beauty of that was that some of the near surface material was only drilled in one hole because it's subvertical. And what that showed us was that there was some broad low grade mineralization near surface, and which was very encouraging for us. Whilst it didn't set the world on fire, the encouragement was that we had continuous mineralization over 300 meters. And this current program has been designed to, in part, extend that as a first pass, because there's potential for bulking up the any resource there might be. And certainly the second phase was to drill underneath those broader zones, because there has been a tendency for some of the other deposits in Tanzania to have had low-grade mineralization at the top, which has developed into higher-grade material at depth, and we've been testing out that possibility.
About 2 kilometers northwest of Susie River, Mike, is another target, Dahabu, where historically you got some good trench results, from what I understand. Also drilled a couple of holes there historically. You've just completed 4 holes at Dahabu, intersecting disseminated sulfides in each of those holes as well. What can you tell us about Dahabu?
Dahabu was one that we had some relatively good trenching results from some time ago, and we have drilled a couple of holes there. What we found was, we believe we've actually drilled over and beneath the main structure there. So the current drilling program is to test for the real zone, which we believe is through the heart of it, and that's based on an IP survey that was done some time ago as well, that we've reviewed the data. So, and this sort of harps back to my earlier statement about the fact that you need to relook at your data and make sure that it's been properly processed, and that does open up possibilities for you when you start looking back at the information.
Mm-hmm. So Dahabu could be a bit of a sleeper property for you then?
Potentially, yes. You don't like to build things up too much on the basis that you might get everything that looks like it's got something, but if there's no gold there, then everyone gets disappointed pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, further to the southwest, about 6 to 8 kilometers southwest of Susie River, you do have Mwama Zengo, a property where Curry Rose made an interesting discovery back in 2005 when they first started in Tanzania. You had some great results from that property and some mixed results that followed. What exactly is going on at Mwama Zengo? You also have now apparently a bit of a parallel zone you're going to be testing. What do you see is going on here to the best of your knowledge at this point?
Yeah, it's an interesting spot. It's on a limb of a fold closure, so it's in a very, very good position in a geological setting. And we have drilled it to a certain extent relatively deep from the point of view of an open cut type arrangement. Mm-hmm. But certainly we're not specifically looking for any style of extraction. We'll look for whatever it takes to bring something on. And we, as part of our review for this drilling program that we're currently in part on, we reviewed the entire data set, and it came very clear to us that there was a zone running parallel. Whilst it looks to be relatively subtle compared to the original anomaly that we drilled at Mwama Zengo, this one is a bit subtle compared to that, but certainly it has extension. And again, knowing that there are zones in Tanzania that are low grade near surface, this is definitely worth putting a few drill holes in to see if we can get something running parallel.
Mm-hmm. Now, how big of a deposit would you need, Mike, at Mabali Hills, at Mwama Zengo or Susie River, Dahabu, whatever, to potentially make something work from a mine standpoint? What sort of infrastructure is in the area? Are there any other mines or deposits close by? Are you only interested in a potential open pit scenario? What would make something work, as an underground operation?
Yeah, okay, that's a pretty big question, that one. But yeah, basically, the first thing is let's discuss what's in and around the area. There's a small deposit to the north of us, mm-hmm, called Katongo, which is held by an Australian company. That's an interesting one in that it's a long strike from our Susie River area. Mm-hmm. Then Barrick. African Barrick have two deposits in the area, both to the west of us and within 30 to 40 kilometres on a different belt, but in the same structure. Mm-hmm. Both of those are not in production yet, but I believe that there's a move to bring them in. So within a sort of 30 to 40 kilometre radius, you're looking at three deposit areas which are interesting. With respect to what we're looking for, as I previously explained, we're not specifically looking for open cut, and the potential for underground is always there, and that's really more a function of having grade, which the near surface material isn't sufficient enough to host an underground deposit. We would look to drill some deeper holes if it looked like we had sufficient tonnage to make an underground target there. And I suppose from the standpoint of the size of deposit, what we're trying to do here is put together a number of smaller areas. So with a bit of luck, we'll put some resources around Susie River. We'll have some at Mwama Zengo, and we'll have some at Dahabu. Mm-hmm. And if those can all come together and you can sort of put put together a, you know, maybe 1 million ounces, then all of a sudden the dynamics of that project starts to grow a profile of its own. If we can't quite get it to that point, then obviously there is still quite a significant asset for the company, in the sense that it means that the surrounding mines may in fact look at some of these other assets for exploitation to fit into their projects. But you know, that's our fallback position. But certainly our first target is to develop around about 1 million ounces of our own, which we can look to exploit.
Well, it sounds like you've got things in order on the ground there, and all that needs to happen now, obviously, is some great drill results, right?
Yeah, you bet. That's always the hardest part. I mean, we can put layers and layers of really good exploration in place, but we got to find the gold. Otherwise, it can be a technical success, but we want it to be more than that.
I'm an optimist too, Mike, and I think you will start seeing some elephants there pretty soon.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so very much, so, John.
You're drilling over some highly prospective areas at Mabali Hills and going through the most intense drill program you've put together here so far in Tanzania. So good luck with things the rest of this summer, Mike. It should be very interesting as results start to come in from Mabali Hills as well as from Sakanki, and I think that's going to be a project that's going to generate a lot of excitement. So good luck with everything you've got going there, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, John. And again, thank you for the opportunity to tell the Curry Rose story. I think it's quite a good one, and we look forward to talking with you again in the future.
Mike, thank you very much for sharing your geological expertise with us here today, and things are in good hands, geologically with you as far as Curry Rose is concerned. So thank you very much for joining us from Perth, Australia today. Mike Griffiths, and the welcome mat is out for you to join us again, and I would love to talk to you again as results start coming out later on in the summer here. So thanks again, Mike, and good luck.
Thanks, John. Greatly appreciate it.
You've been listening to a special audio interview on bullmarketrun.com. I'm John Hallstein. Joining me today again was Mike Griffiths, consulting geologist and director for Curry Rose Resources, CUI, on the TSX Venture Exchange. This is bullmarketrun.com, where we bring you home run opportunities in the junior resource sector.